ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Before I begin reading, I want to thank everyone here for coming. It's a pleasure, privilege to serve all of you, and I pray that you will continue to allow me to serve you, because it is serving devotees that my life comes to me and increases to me and enables me to come closer and to realize Krishna through all of your blessings and through all of your allowances of me to serve you. Thank you very much. It is a great privilege. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We will be doing the second canto, fifth chapter, 42nd verse. But I will be doing that completely by myself. It is the last verse, and it is all very small and short. But the one following it, second canto, sixth chapter, the first verse will be done by all of us. Okay? So don't repeat now. Vrloka kalpita padbya Vrloka kalpita padbyam Vrvark loko syam nabitaha Svarloka kalpito murdana Iti valoka kalpanam. Translation. Others, we have Lord Brahma speaking to Narada Muni, and he's talking to him about the universe and the universal form. Others may divide the whole planetary system into three divisions, namely the lower planetary systems on the legs up to the earth, the middle planetary systems on the navel, and the upper planetary systems, Svarloka, from the chest to the head of the Supreme Personality. Purport. The three divisions of the complete planetary systems are here mentioned. 14 are imagined by others. Now, imagine does not mean something that doesn't exist. It does exist, but it's part of their mental expression. That's the way the word imagine is being used, because if you go back, you will see that there are 14 actual planets that have been manifested by the Supreme Lord. And that is also explained, which is what I just mentioned here. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second canto, fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Cause of All Causes. So we now go to the sixth chapter and the first text. Good. Brahmo vacha vachambaner mukham kshetram chandasam sapta dhatvatava Havya kavyam ritananam jivasarva rasasyacha Brahmo vacha vachambaner mukham kshetram chandasam sapta dattava Havya kavyam ritananam jivasarva rasasyacha Brahmo vacha Vachambanir Mukham Kshetram. Shandasam Sapta Dattabaha. Havya Kavyam Ritananam. Jiva Sarva Rasasya Cha. Ladies, please. Brahma. Thank you, Mother. Sava rasasya cham nam vacha Brahma uvacha. Lord Brahma said, vacham, of the voice, vane, of fire, mukham, the mouth, kshetram, the generating center, shandasam, of the Vedic hymns, such as Gayatri, sapta, seven, tatavaha, skin and six other layers. Havya Kavya, offerings for the demigods and the forefathers. Amrita, food for human beings. Ananam, of all sorts of foodstuffs. Jiva, the tongue. Sarva, all. Vasasya, of all delicacies. Cha, also. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Brahma said, The mouth of the Virat Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, is the generating center of the voice, and the controlling deity is fire. His skin and six other layers are the generating centers of the Vedic hymns, and his tongue is the productive center. Is the productive center of different foodstuffs and delicacies for offering to demigods and forefathers and the general mass of people. Purport. The opulences of the universal form of the Lord are described herein. It is said that his mouth is the generating center of all kinds of voices, and its controlling deity is the fire demigod. And his skin and other six layers of bodily construction are the representative generating centers of the seven kinds of Vedic hymns, like the Gayatri. Gayatri is the beginning of all Vedic mantras, and it is explained in the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam. Since the generating centers are the different parts of the universal form of the Lord, and since the form of the Lord is transcendental to the material creation, it is to be understood that the voice, the tongue, the skin, etc., suggest that the Lord, in his transcendental form, is not without them. The material voice, or the energy of taking in foodstuff, is generated originally from the Lord. Such actions are but perverted reflections of the original reservoirs. The transcendental situation is not without spiritual variegatedness. So the Lord is the original, and when we come down to this world, it is known as the perverted reflection, not the original, not without the three modes of material nature. In the spiritual world, all the perverted forms of material variegatedness are fully represented in their original spiritual identity. The only difference is that material activities are contaminated by the three modes of material nature, whereas the potencies in the spiritual world are all pure, because they are engaged in the unalloyed, transcendental, loving service of the Lord. In the spiritual world, the Lord is the sublime enjoyer of everything, and the living entities there are all engaged in his transcendental, loving service without any contamination, done purely. Contamination of the modes of material nature. The activities in the spiritual world are without any of the difficulties of the material world. But there is no question of impersonal voidness on the spiritual platform, as suggested by the impersonalists. That is their, if you will, chronic discourse, that everything is void, everything is zero, everything is nothing, and that's all there is. And that's why they fall back down to the material world, because it's a very boring situation, so boring that they can't stand it, and they have to come back and try to, as they try to come back to this world and be a lord of some sort, because, as I said, the boredom becomes beyond belief. All there is peace, but the living entity needs more than peace, but we'll get into that a little bit later, as suggested by the impersonalist. Devotional service is defined in the Narada Pancharatra as follows. Sarvo padi vinirmuktam tat parat vena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakter uchite. Originally, since all the senses are produced of the Lord's reservoir of senses, the sensual activities of the material world are to be purified by the process of devotional service. And thus the perfection of life can be attained simply by purifying the present position of our material activities. And the purifying process begins from the stage of being liberated from the conception of different designations. Every living entity is engaged in some sort of service, either for the self, or for the family, or for the society, country, etc. But unfortunately, all such services are rendered due to material attachment. We're driven, we're pushed, we're compelled. It does not come out of a free spirit, a loving spirit. The attachments of the material affinity may be simply changed to the service of the Lord. And thus, the treatment of being freed from material attachment begins automatically. The process of liberation is therefore easier through devotional service than by any other methods. For in the Bhagavad Gita, 12:5, 12th chapter, 5th text, it is said that one is subjected to various kinds of tribulations if one is impersonally attached. Klesho dikataras tesham avyakta sakta chetasam. 12:5 is the English translation. It says, for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun malitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offered my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So it is mentioned here by Srila Prabhupada that all the services that are performed in the material world are done with material attachment. There's a difference between performing action without attachment and with attachment. When a person performs action with attachment, there is the feeling that this action is indispensable, absolutely essential. I can't live without it. I have to do it. I'm driven. This is what attachment is. Often it is sometimes various habits that we form, and so often bad habits. We become attached, smoking cigarettes, drinking beer, or watching 3 hours of TV every night. These are attachments, and a person gets used to them. Because they get used to them, they feel comfortable with them. They feel like they are a part of their clothing. When you watch your favorite TV program, it's like a part of, supposedly, you. This is me. I watch this comedy. I watch this mystery. I watch this documentary. All these things I have to have. And if I don't have them, I'm not a real, true human being. This is the madness that strikes through the hearts of so many people. Real and true means being in touch with madness. The more mad you become, the more normal you become. So to be fully normal means to be fully mad. But everybody's mad, so nobody knows that others are mad. Like if you're mad and I'm mad and you're mad, well, we're all mad. So who's mad? The people out there, like those Hare Krishnas, they're mad. So this is the madness of. And unfortunately, most people don't know that there's madness all around and that they're becoming madder and madder as time goes on. So Srila Prabhupada has made it very, very clear what madness is. Madness means
that I think that I cannot live without my car. Like, I've been living with a car for, who knows, 60, 70, 80 years. But I sold it about 3 years ago. I don't feel any difference. The only difference is when I need to get someplace, so I generally call up some one of the devotees, and they usually take me, or if the car here is free, then I take the car. There's no feeling of difference. But car means prestige. Car means importance. Car means a person in society. It doesn't only mean getting someplace, which is fine, which is a good use of car, but it also means that I've made it. I'm here. I've arrived. I have a car. I can drive with everyone else at night with my lights on, use my directionals. I feel a part of the people. I feel a part of everyone, all the mad people. So the result is that may sound a little cruel, but it is mad. When you think that you have to, for example, have a certain food, I have to have these fried foods at least 3 days a week. If I don't have them, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel right. I don't feel I'm okay. And then you get a big bellyache. Well, but it tastes so good. Is it worth it? Sort of. Not completely. Because when the bellyache comes and the pain and the gas and and you start spitting out and so many things and one begins to vomit. So this is attachment. Attachment means attachment to one's parents. I can't live without my parents. I don't want to move out of my house. Matt is 40 years old. He's still living with his parents. There was that show Seinfeld. George, I think he was about 40, and he was still living with his parents. They made a big joke about it, but I won't go into it. The important thing is that he feels, but he doesn't say I'm attached. He doesn't say that. He just says, my parents need me. I care for them. I comfort them. And so on. So there are already children in the house who can help and take care. But he wants to be there. He feels he's needed. Without me, they really can't go on. This is the kind of idea or rationalization that one gives oneself to stay in a particular position. But a person who has developed some degree of freedom and knows what freedom is becoming attached to Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who owns everything, who is everywhere present, who has everything, who can give everything, who is flooded with love for everyone. When a person knows that, which comes out of Srila Prabhupada's wonderful books and comes from the devotees who are also distributing these books, well, that's a whole different understanding. Our business is to be everywhere present, wherever we can, serving Krishna. Whether we're here, whether we're there, whether we're in Alaska, whether we're in Australia, it really doesn't matter where we are, but it does matter that wherever we are serving the loving lotus feet of Krishna. If that is our present situation, then we are properly and rightly situated. Our only thought should be, right now, this moment, am I serving Krishna? All of you are serving Krishna because you're listening to a discourse about Krishna. But when you leave, will we be thinking about Krishna? Or will we be thinking about our shoelaces? Or the tile in this room? Or the ceiling? Or the doors? Or how many meals we're going to eat today? And are we going to get a tasty meal for breakfast today? And if it won't be tasty, will the lunch be tasty? See, these are the attachments. Our feeling should be whatever Krishna. I belong to Krishna. I'm owned by Krishna. He gives me whatever he wants to give me according to what he knows is best for me and according to the karmic reactions that I have coming to me. So he balances everything in order to help us become better and better. Better means that we become balanced. We become peaceful. We become kind. We become sweet. We become loving. We become constructive. We become offering. We like to do things for others. This is what Krishna is gradually building us to. The mood of a devotee is one of giving, of offering, of loving. How can I improve his life? How can I benefit him or her? It's a mood. It's not, well, you know, I read something, okay, I'm going to do this now. No, it's a mood. And the mood is prevalent. It's always present. What do I do? What is my goal? What is the purpose of my life? The purpose of my life is, quite simply, is to lovingly serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to beg him for the help, for the guidance, for the direction, to serve him in such a way that he will be pleased. It's not a matter of me, I'm just going to do the job. That's not it. Many people work just that way. They just do the job. But there's no love in it. There's no sweetness in it. There's no care in it. There's no thought in it. It's just done. And one cannot get any real bliss or happiness or fulfillment or satisfaction because it's not really being accepted by the Lord. Anyone who goes on that altar there should feel a great sense of appreciation. Wow, God is enabling me, is allowing me to come up and get so close to him. Who am I that I should be allowed to come so close to him? If you think it's just wood, well, then it doesn't really matter. But if you think this is the Supreme Lord, and he's looking at me, and he's enabling me, he's helping me come closer to him, he's smiling at me, he's allowing me to touch his hands, to put a garland around his neck. What an amazing, amazing opportunity in a person's many years, whether they be 60 or 70 or 90 or 100. Who in this world gets a chance to touch God? And not only touch God, but to feel the blessings of God as they flow through us. And we take those blessings out to others who are less blessed or not even blessed because their whole life is based upon just me, 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 me. They just want to improve their own body, their own mind, their own home, their home objects, their cars, their airplanes. They're flying here, they're flying there. Everyone is trying to be a lord in some way. There are many people, they just fly around. Why do they fly around? Because it gives them a sense of omnipresence. We all know what omnipresence is. You feel like you're a part of everything. Many people, they even go on the TV sets and they go from station to station to feel that they're everywhere present. Hey, I'm in China now. What do you know? Hey, Australia. Wow, I'm really getting someplace. You're not getting anywhere. You're still sitting in the same place. But the feeling is that we are transferring ourselves to all these different places, which is an illusion. The same there is here. The same here is there. Of course, there are differences. For example, where Krishna walked, his holy vibrations are left there. And those who are receptive to that holy vibration will feel that vibration. I know the first time I went to Vrindavan, and I remember that this day just before I was about to leave, I didn't want to leave. And I was crying. And I was in, what do you call that, in the back where the sand is. I said, I don't want to go anymore because I just want to stay with Krishna. And then basically within my heart, I felt, no, you have to go. You have work to do. You have service to perform. You have to be worthy of this. You got a gift. You got something you didn't deserve. I gave it to you not so that you can just forget about your service and what you should be doing and how you should be helping others to improve in their lives. No, it's not to be a selfish act. It should be a selfless act. As Krishna says, I gave this to you, now you give it to others. And Prabhupada would say us, you give this book up, and then give that book, and make sure that people get these books, so that when they get the book, what will happen is that they will feel deep and great and wonderful appreciation, because these books are geared towards enabling to us to become attached to not the cars, not the sidewalk, not the lights, not all the beautiful things outside, but attached to the beautiful Krishna. And that is what we need to do by all these practices that we do, such as chanting 16 rounds, in which God's name is flooded with his own energy, and that energy floods into us. By chanting these 16 rounds, which become us, and we become more and more Krishna eyes, so to speak. And as Krishna sees, we are making a dedicated, devoted effort, and we are giving up all the irregularities, illicit sex, intoxication, eating of meat, fish, and eggs, gambling. We give up all that. So that's how we become purified. You do those things, you give them impure. I know when I was much younger, 19, 18, 20, I did those things. And my consciousness was so different than it is today. Not only my consciousness, but my body, my mind, my overall feelings of the whole world is so completely different. This is called Krishna consciousness, the feeling that God is within me and God is outside me, and I am working, living, and acting for the Supreme Lord every moment, every second. As long as I have that kind of mood, then my life is perfect. Perfect in the sense that not I am perfect now, but it's moving towards perfection. That's what I mean. I'm doing what I should be doing. I'm following. I'm obeying. Obedience is so important in this movement. Obedience is the way you become humble. It means you're told, like I just mentioned, four regular principles, and you follow those four regular principles. It means that you feel small enough, little enough, to do what somebody else said you should do, as opposed to saying, no, I do what I want to do. This is the arrogant. I'm big enough. I can make my own decisions. Yes, you can, but make them with a framework of God, realized soul's words. And if that is your framework to making all your decisions, then all of your decisions will be perfect. No question about that. That's why we always try to follow Srila Prabhupada's, what he says in his books, where and when possible. So, therefore, to become free of all material attachments means, quite simply, to become developed in spiritual attachment. When we become spiritually attached to Krishna, attached to Srimati Radharani, attached to the deities, attached to this temple, attached to the scriptures, that is ideal, because that leads to peace, that leads to love, that leads to bliss, that leads to an intensity of absorption in the Supreme Lord. In other words, we become more and more, or closer and closer to the Supreme Lord, to his affection, to his love, to his kindness, to his sweetness, and his qualities become our qualities, and when our qualities become divine, they manifest in our activities. And when they manifest, there are less and less, generally speaking, conflicts and problems and fights and all sorts of troubles. You have fewer and much less of those. Or when those possibilities exist that they could come up, you know how to discharge them. You know how to settle them. You know how to quiet them. A person is upset. He's angry. He's disturbed. When you're calm, when we're tranquil, when we're serene, you can take a person who's agitated and upset and bring him to your position. If we are the same, then we cannot help anybody. So we should really be focusing upon praying, oh my Lord, I have so many bad qualities. Help me to overcome those qualities. And if you help me to overcome them, I can do so much more and better service for you. Will you please do this for me? So that is the goal of every Krishna conscious devotee, to lovingly serve Krishna, not only in the deities that we have, but in our activities, in our family life, in our school life, in our social life, in all of these types of things. So in this way, we become more and more Krishnaized. Our whole life, instead of being like it once was or like so many people's are, full of turmoil, full of difficulty, problems, tribulations, agitation. Instead of having all that, we can have peace and joy and pleasure and frolic and joking in a transcendental manner. This is desirable, because when we have that, the sorrows, the miseries, the uncertainties, the doubts that grip people today will disappear from the devotee. And disappearing, they will be replaced by a whole new and different personality. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Please feel free. No? No? Everyone's dismissed. And again, thank you for coming. It's my pleasure to serve you. Hare Krishna.